On Thursday, August 10th, 24 people were arrested for plotting the hijacking and demolition of several planes departing from the UK en route to the US. Here to talk to me about the issue is Craig Murray. Craig Murray is a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan and was removed from his post 2 years ago because of his outspoken criticism of Uzbekistan's human rights record. He has written an article published on Counterpunch and Common Dreams entitled The UK Terror Plot. Mr. Murray, thank you for agreeing to do the interview with me today.
That's okay. It's nice to talk to you.
Could you describe how the arrests took place and the role of the British government in it?
Yes. Well, I should start by saying that 11 of these people have now finally been charged with conspiracy to commit murder. So we have to wait and see the evidence and see what comes to court. But I'm deeply suspicious about the timing of these arrests. These people had reportedly been under observation, under surveillance, for about 9 months. And the arrests took place at a time when both the Bush and Blair governments were in deep trouble politically, when the situation in the Lebanon and in Iraq was going from bad to worse and rather dominating the news agenda, and when an anti-war candidate had just defeated Senator Lieberman in the States, while in the United Kingdom a government minister had just resigned from office over the issue of bombs and missiles being sent to Israel. So given the amount of hype and propaganda that that took place at the time of the arrests, with the government and police here telling us that this was going to be bigger than 9/11 and was going to be mass murder on an unimaginable scale, they managed to totally change the news agenda overnight and get it back onto the war on terror and back onto getting us all scared. So there must be a suspicion that there was a political manipulation in the timing of these arrests, and that some plotters, and I leave aside for the moment the question of whether there could have been agent provocateur activity in these plots, because this group of people were infiltrated by both British and Pakistani intelligence. But it seems like these plotters were, weren't imminently about to do anything. So the timing of arrests is what I'm particularly suspicious of.
And could you describe the Pakistan connection?
Yes, one of the alleged plotters was arrested in Pakistan on the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan, and he, under interrogation, fed back to London information about this plot. And now we have to be very suspicious of this, because I know from my time in the diplomatic service that if interrogation takes place of a suspected terrorist suspect in Pakistan, but Pakistan is not a democracy, it's a military dictatorship, and that interrogation was more likely than not, very, very likely, to have involved torture. And human rights groups in Pakistan have already expressed concern about this interrogation. Of course, under torture, people will say anything to try to make the pain stop. And if he was asked to implicate people back in the UK in a terrorist plot, people will do that. They'll do anything they're asked to do. Another worrying feature is that the gentleman who gave the information from Pakistan was himself wanted in the UK for questioning about the murder of his uncle. He had left the United Kingdom a few years ago when he was wanted for questioning by the police after the murder of his uncle. And that murder was never alleged to have any al-Qaeda link or religious or political link, which again might make you wonder about how reliable the sources of information are. The Pakistani intelligence services are extremely closely linked to the CIA in particular, and they had allegedly for some time infiltrated and been involved with this group of people. To what extent they had any influence in egging on these young men to these a somewhat uncomparable scale of crime. But that's another open question. So there are a lot of reasons here to doubt that the whole thing is as simple as the picture which governments have been so keen to present to us.
And is this going to move forward the attack on democracy and on civil liberties in the industrialized countries?
Yes, I think it will do. I know that in the United Kingdom we've already gone further than the United States. People can now be detained without trial for up to 28 days if they're suspected of terrorism, detained without charge. I know that the Bush administration has publicly been saying that because of this specific so-called or alleged terror plot in the United States, they want to look at doing similar legislation for detention without charge, whereas here the government is saying that because of this terror plot, they want to extend the period for which you can be detained without any charge to 90 days, and warning that there have to be other reductions in our liberties as well. And this is a constant theme. I should say this was by no means the first alleged terror plot here. We've had a number of scares. For example, charges were brought against some people. There were a group of Muslims living in the flat, and the police alleged they were making ricin, a powerful toxin. This was a couple of years ago. It was a Muslim plot to infect London's water supply with ricin, and they said it could have killed hundreds of thousands of people. It turned out there was no ricin. The amount of ricin they'd found was the atmospheric norm. There's a tiny, tiny amount of ricin in pretty well everyone's kitchen. There had been in these people. And in the end, although those people were charged, they were all found not guilty. And we've had others. And there have been a variety of these plots, which are all always given this tremendous propaganda hype, which is then always also said to justify further attacks on civil liberties. So I'm not saying that they're... I don't know. The legal process must take its course. I don't know if there was really something behind all this or not. But I'm cautioning people not to automatically believe the government propaganda and not to be scared out of their wits. You know, you've still got 1,000 times more likelihood in your life of being killed by a car than you have of being killed by a bomb. Let's get this into perspective.
Mm-hmm. In Canada, this kind of conspiracy to commit terrorism has already been kind of shown to has already taken place. 19 Muslims were arrested and charged with conspiracy to bomb the CBC and the Parliament buildings, among other sites. Do you think that this process of arresting large numbers of people without really the probability of convicting them, is this becoming a pattern?
Well, certainly in the United Kingdom, more than 1,000 Muslims have been arrested under anti-terror legislation. Only about 12% of those arrested are ever charged with anything. 88% of those arrested aren't even charged. Now, if there was nothing to charge them with, they should not have been arrested. That's simply harassment. With other crimes, on average, about 75 or 80% of people arrested are charged, as a rough guide. 12% is completely out of line. So, you know, already there, you've got over 1,000 people who've been arrested under anti-terrorism legislation and then simply let go because they haven't done anything. But the amazing thing is that of those charged, only 1 in 8 have been convicted, which means only 2% of those arrested under anti-terrorism legislation have been convicted. And even more astonishing, nearly all of those haven't been convicted of terrorism. They've been convicted of some other crime that the UK police happened to come across when they were going through all their computers and files, often very minor crimes. And we're only talking about 20 people who've been convicted of anything at all out of the over 1,000 who've been arrested for anti-terror legislation. So that makes you get it into perspective that an awful lot of the time it turns out to be hype and it turns out that there's nothing behind it. That doesn't mean to say terrorism doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean to say automatically that there's nothing behind this plot. But given that the people hadn't even bought airline tickets yet, the idea that there was an imminent 9/11 about to blow us all out of the skies, I think should just be dismissed as propaganda.
Mm-hmm. And where do you draw the line Or where do you think the government draws the line between wishful thinking about enacting some kind of retribution for a slight by a state and conspiracy with intent to act?
I think it's a difficult line to draw. I think one thing which needs to be done is you need to have clear evidence that people are actually, you know, making a bomb and buying tickets and that kind of thing. And you also need to be quite sure that you haven't got agents of your state or another state that are egging them on to do it. And that has apparently been the case, certainly in a recent case in Miami. It appears that's what happened. They were led on to it. And had they not been led on by a government agent, they probably would never have thought of it in the first place. But we should also be very aware that the response engenders terrorism. You actually create the monster that you claim you're fighting. Certainly the response to 9/11 in terms of the invasion of Iraq, and Iraq, of course, had nothing to do with 9/11. The invasion of Iraq, the continued occupation of Afghanistan, this has caused a great deal of hatred towards the West in the minds of many Muslims, and that is what causes the growth of the threat of terrorism. But also, of course, those 1,000 Muslims in the UK who were completely innocent of anything and who were arrested and turned over and in some cases detained for months or years, you know, they and their families don't feel very kindly disposed towards us after they were ill-treated so badly despite being innocent. So the civil rights clampdown, and particularly as it affects Muslims, also doesn't help. And we now have the situation where two Asians were kicked off an airplane yesterday, just to give one of many such incidents, just because the other passengers wouldn't have them on the plane because they were Asian, which is terrible sort of institutionalized racism. And that will all feed more resentment, which will all come back and hurt us. So really, the governments have got to take another track completely if they are serious about wanting to reduce the chances of terror.
And finally, can you take one more question?
One more, yeah.
Is it significant that Tony Blair didn't return from his holidays during the course of the arrests?
Well, I certainly would find it strange if the government really believed, as they said they believed, that this was bigger than 9/11. I'm astonished that that day he would go off on holiday. Having discussed the arrests with George Bush beforehand. Who knows? But that certainly doesn't seem to fit. And a couple of questions here. Now, if it was really going to be bigger than 9/11, why did he go on holiday? Equally, why did they only start this nonsense about taking liquids off people as they get into plane, not letting people carry shampoo or toothpaste? Why did they only start that after all the people had been safely arrested? There was at least 5 days between Tony Blair and George Bush discussing it and the people being arrested. While the people were still at large, none of those measures were in place and anyone could take liquids onto an aeroplane. Only after they were all safely arrested was a terror alert raised. That's very peculiar.
Mr. Murray, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Bye.